Introducing the new Starbucks Pistachio Cream Cold Brew. Silky pistachio cream cold foam tops our bold, smooth cold brew for a delicious twist on a favorite winter flavor. Make today a good day. Order ahead on the Starbucks app.
Progressive presents Adjusting to the Suburbs.
I never thought about space in my cramped apartment, but in this house, all I see is empty space. The sofa and ottoman look like tiny islands in a sea of hardwood floors. I could get two ottomans in the living room, but then I'd need another sofa. I could tell people I'm into minimalism.
Anyway, when you save with Progressive by bundling your home and auto, that's the easy part of adjusting to the suburbs. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Coverage provided in service by affiliates and third-party insurers.
I just love that. What a night that was when we had Vinny Appice at the Arcata Theater with Last in Line. We had it all arranged. Everybody had Vinny Appice stickers for their shirts. There's a story behind that. But anyway, hey, everybody, Artists on Lockdown, hanging and banging. Welcome once again. It is Thursday night. I am Ron Onesti in rock and roll heaven, actually, outside of Chicago in St. Charles at the Arcata Theater. And I've got my good buddy, my big brother, my mentor, a hero, a rock and roll icon, Carmine Appice with me. Hey, Carm, good to see you, buddy. Where are you at, Carmine? There he is.
Oh, there I am. There I am. Hey.
There he is, the Cuban drug lord.
Hello.
Go here. Wait a second. Wait. Now, you do that a lot. You do that thing a lot. Do it in slow motion. I want to see what's going on here.
Hey.
Man, you got to be something crazy at a Chinese restaurant. You really
got those sticks are too light.
If you could get a little sushi
heavy
on there.
It's got to be heavy. It's got to be a heavy Carmine stick.
You know, I've always wondered, I mean, really, do drummers like naturally use drumsticks? I mean, chopsticks at a Chinese restaurant? I'm a fork guy, but I'm not a drummer.
Yeah, but they would break easily.
So, but can you do? Do you ever eat with drumsticks that way, like pasta, like a big hearty pasta?
You know, I did a show. It's on the internet on YouTube. It's called Cooking with Carmine.
Really?
In which I cooked pasta. I cooked with pasta. I stirred it with a pair of drumsticks. I served it on a drum head. It's you would appreciate.
Oh no,
it.
We're doing funny. When you come by me, we're doing that. We are so.
I made. Tell Ben he's got to find that. Yeah,
absolutely.
And then what we did, we served broccoli. We made broccoli and pasta with broccoli, and put it on. It was so funny, man. We'll put it on a
pasta
on
a
drum head.
It's gonna be on my.
I had the chef hat on, had the apron on. It was pretty funny.
Where is our brother Vinny this week?
He is in Ramona, California, at the Ramona main stage tonight.
Yeah, with what incarnation? So, Last in Line still?
Last in Line, yeah. I just came back this, like 2 hours ago from the Vanilla Fudge Robbie Krieger tour. And that was great. We had many sold-out shows.
Oh, yeah.
And
we got you guys.
I know we're going to do your place in April.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
April.
How did that show go?
And I want to see some signs. I want to see T-shirts.
Oh, I got plans for you, older brother.
I bet you do.
Oh, we're going to have a freaking parade.
I bet you do. Yeah. Yeah, we had a great time. Joe Bonamassa came up and jammed.
So I heard about that. I mean, was that planned was or great. Was he just in the audience?
Well, after we had the show, remember I asked
week?
Him where
yeah.
he was. Yeah, he said he was on 63rd in Central Park. I said, oh, well, I'm on West 70th and Broadway. That's like six blocks away. Mm-hmm. He said, yeah, I'm going to be here for weeks. So I said, oh. We're playing Monday and Tuesday at the Sony Hall. You should come down. He goes, I'm there. So I texted him the next day, and he came down.
That's what an awesome and dude, Nick.
He brought us guitar, but you know, Vanilla Fudge are a very weird band. You know, it's not like we have songs that you could actually jam to. Mm-hmm. So we had to figure out like a shotgun, our song Shotgun, where how he could jam in it. You know, so we rehearsed it. He came in for rehearsal, we rehearsed it and fixed it. And the last song, the last persons or band that ever jammed with Vanilla Fudge as a jam to the same song was Led Zeppelin.
Come on.
In 1969.
That was the last jam.
Yeah, because it's not a jammable music. It's like, you know, it's like trying to jam to Rush.
Yeah, good point.
Lots of worked
good
out.
Good point. Especially you know? Your drumming.
So, yeah. Especially, I mean, we improvise amongst ourselves, but you got to know the parts and where it's going, you know. And so we said, well, Shotgun's the only one he can do. So he loved it. He had a great time. We took pictures with him.
Wow.
And we had a good time. And then the next night, we went up and jammed Roadhouse Blues with Robbie and his band. That was awesome.
Oh, see, now
we had a good run.
That was the question, because is that something that we in Chicago, when you're going to come play our show, is there a finale where you're both on stage together?
Yeah, we could do that.
I'd love that. Oh, my goodness.
For you, we could do that.
All right, man. I'm excited about that. Hey, we got a great show. I mean, this is episode number 71. Are you kidding me? They said it wouldn't go
past. Season two, number 19. How many in the season? For us, how many in the season?
You know what? It's kind of let's make it 10 so that we can say we've had 7 seasons. How about that? That's pretty impressive.
Well, now this we're 7 seasons. So now we're on season 3, number 9.
You know what? It's getting, all I know is we're doing this a long time, and that this is the bright side of COVID, because it kind of hatched this situation. People are loving it. People are just jumping on. We've got these great guests that you and Gwen have been getting every week that just blows my mind. It's funny because you got to understand, for me, now you and Gwen are working on who should we get. You guys are booking the show. For me, it's like Cracker Jack. You know, you pull out the surprise
and I see what it is.
And I actually have to look at the website. Who do we got this week? I'm like, holy crap. Like last week, freaking Don McLean and Joe Bonamassa on the same show.
That's crazy.
Don McLean, the 50th anniversary of American Pie. I mean, royalty. And tonight is so cool because I think that's one of the things that people love about our show most is that it's not the same old thing or same young thing. Yeah. It's just rock and roll, pure rock and roll, all elements.
There's Bonamassa.
Oh, wait. Oh, you found it. Okay, hang on. Let's check that out. Is this show jamming with you? The audience must have just flipped their lid.
It's not good.
And see, that's great. You could tell a pro that you could just slide in like that.
Yeah.
Not since 1969. So I think you should, as a tradition, every 52 years allow someone to jam with you.
Yeah.
People loved it, man. You could tell it was a great time.
People loved
maybe
it.
Maybe Joe.
Nobody knew. See, nobody knew. You know, I announced. I said, I know this guy since he's 12 years old, and he's going to come out and jam with us. Joe Bonamassa, the whole place went
come
crazy.
Come on. That had to be out of control.
It was awesome.
Well, you know what's awesome? I started to say this before the video there, is that one of the things that we get a lot of compliments about our show is that it's not just whether – I mean, it would still be good if we had just 60s rock guys, 70 rock girls, whatever it is, you know. But – we've had such, I mean, you're talking about from Weird Al to Ted Nugent
to Dion.
To that young girl. What was the young girl that we had on that you liked? I don't remember her name now. My goodness. The Family Band. What is that Family Band? Remember the
Oh, yeah.
I can't. Ben, tell us who that was, because that was an amazing band. But tonight we've got just some. I'm just so excited because I'm a huge theater fan, first of all. So to have John on here is a big deal to me. But this young lady, with her voice and what she's doing, we're going to talk about who is a big fan of hers in rock and roll. Mariah Formica from Plush. Let's bring her on. And also our buddy John Humphrey from Seether. How cool is that?
Hey, look at
what's
this.
Up? Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
Hey, when I saw Mariah, I said, how old are you, man? You look so young. I thought she was like 14 years old.
Well, you're 21, maybe, huh, Mariah?
Yeah.
It's
21.
Yeah.
Crazy. So there's so much you want to talk about. You know, first of all, welcome to the show because, you know, as I was saying earlier, thank we get you. A lot of, like, we've had, you know, everybody from Nugent to Elton John's guitarist to this and that. You guys are represent so a couple awesome. of genres that are pretty fresh, let's call it, for us. But also what I love is that even though it's considered somewhat of a different genre, you could tell that you both are like real students and real fans of the classics and what got you there, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mariah, I'm going to start with you real quick. Okay, so, you know, we have a very good friend on our show. She has a problem with vowels. we've had Lizzie on the show a couple of times from Hailstorm and a very good friend of Carmine's, obviously. And she talked a lot about the classics influencing her. And we just love her. I mean, if you don't love Hailstorm, you're not welcome on the show because you're not a rock and roller. That's for sure.
I know, right? What even is
I don't know. But what's cooler than Hailstorm? Let me tell you what's cooler than Hailstorm. When Lizzie says, I like that person, that's cooler.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me how that all thing happened. Oh, yeah. I mean, did she actually come up to you? Did she contact you or just hear about it? About her being a fan of yours.
It was just like, it was, I mean, I was obviously like, I grew up a huge Hailstorm fan. And a huge Evanescence fan. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at about like 11 or 12, I saw Hailstorm for the first time live. And I was just, you know, I was like just getting into wanting to be in bands. And I had like my little kid bands and whatever. and I finally got to see Hailstorm live. And my mind was absolutely blown. And also it was the fact that it was like, you know, yes, I knew of Joan Jett and stuff, but she wasn't really in my generation. Mm-hmm. You know, Lizzie Hale is like the Joan Jett of my mm-hmm. generation. And so it was just mind blowing to see her up there, just a badass and so unapologetic, you know, and just so who she is and so real and raw and genuine and incredible, you know.
Incredible is a great word.
And I was also infatuated with the fact that she played guitar too. Because that was something else that I had never really seen that much. So it was incredible. And so as I got older, I started, you know, doing like open mic nights and just got like little gigs here and there. And then the first time I met her was at a festival that I played near where I live. And I was 15, not like 14 or 15. Oh, and I met her for the first time. I think she saw a cover of mine. I used to cover a lot of Hailstorm songs, but I think it might have been I Am the Fire that mm-hmm. she saw. But I remember that was the first time that she kind of like noticed me or like gave me a shout out or whatever. I think it was she had shared it on Twitter or something. So that was the first time that, you know, I think she.
So
she,
what did you think?
You know.
When she shared it on Twitter and you read
She basically said that you are the future of rock and roll.
No, but what did you think? What did you feel when you read it?
Oh, I was like, I didn't even know what to do. I really didn't. I did not know what to do. I didn't know what to, I was like, I was amazed. I was like, oh
that's
my
great.
Gosh. She just, and it was, I just remember thinking, I was like, that's so nice. Like she didn't have to do that. It's so supportive.
And you're right. A lot of these people who are out there and they've achieved the stardom and they've crawled through the sludge to get to where they're at. But so many forget about that.
Right.
You know, she does again, she was on our show here. So down to earth, so freaking cool.
Yeah.
Anybody's friend could be anybody's friend just hanging out. Really cool.
I know how you felt because as John would say, me and my brother Vinny, we smoked a joint with Buddy Rich, right? And as we're doing it, we're going, I can't believe we're smoking a joint with Buddy Rich, you know? You know, so I know what the feeling, you know?
It comes from that.
You meet an idol or you see an idol, it's just unbelievable feeling.
You know, Johnny, we're going back a little bit. And, you know, one of the things that I like to do is I reference, like, some of our favorite band names and that kind of thing. But I got to ask you about the Nixons. I got to ask, like, what the hell? Like, it's not even your generation. Like, where would you come up with that? Like, like how did that?
Really?
It was off the cuff. I mean, it had nothing to do with political affiliation or a bunch of Republicans or something. It was really, it looked cool, had an X in it,
okay,
you know?
Okay.
And it sounded, you know, at the time, this is early on, sort of punk rock. So, yeah, the Nixons, we really liked it. And but it was really, there was no thought to it. There's no sort of deep, you know, this is how we came to the name, you know? It just was like, we got a gig tonight. What do we call the band? You know, I wrote down the Nixons, man. That's cool. Yeah, go for it.
If you were like 16 in 1976, I get, like me, I think that was me, right? About that. I would get it, but not you. Like, maybe you came up with,
right.
Hey, let's call us the Clintons. Or let's call us the Bush. What's even better, let's call ourselves the Bushes. That I would get. But the Nixons?
No, I mean, you know, I'm a 70s and 80s kid. So, I mean, I was a little kid, but I knew who Nixon was. But, you know, again, it just sounded cool and a lot of controversy, right? I mean, I remember the TV shows when I was a kid with all the jokes, Richard Nixon jokes that went on for years, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, the Nixons. We just thought it was cool.
Awesome. You know, so I talked to a friend of yours today.
Yesterday.
Bill Ludwig III.
Ah, B3.
B3, and from Chicago, and he told me that you play his drums.
Yes. Yes.
Drums, right? They sound great.
They sound amazing. Yeah. Best drums really I've ever had.
He made them sound like the old Ludwigs, you know.
Yeah, right. They have the reinforcement hoops like the old school Ludwigs and the two top and bottom.
And they're all 3-ply, you know, maple, poplar.
Yeah, beautiful, great sounding drums. Yeah, it was pretty surreal. We had a mutual friend was like, hey, man, is it cool if, you know, I give your number to Bill Ludwig? I thought he was putting me on. Like, you know, no, don't do that.
Another name.
That was a buddy pranking me, right? I've heard it before, but, you know, I guess
sure,
so.
Next thing you're gonna
say. Anyway, he calls me. It was just, it was surreal. He called me and, you know, had, I guess, looked up some of my stuff, the music, Seether and stuff. And he was like, you know, I've got a drum company. And, you know, obviously he's explaining himself, Ludwig and the old drums. And I'm like, dude, my first drum kit was Ludwig. This is amazing.
Yep.
You know, your family is legendary in the drum manufacturing business. So it's an honor.
He
it was
told
really
me he
a no-brainer.
He said he did a contest with you that had the most ridiculous amount of people, you know, enter. Usually you do a contest, you know, you have a couple of thousand people enter.
Right.
He said you had like 110,000 entries.
What's the contest?
Wow.
What was the contest?
That's amazing. We had a snare drum, a WFL3 snare drum, and the band signed it.
Yeah.
We all signed it, and it was just a giveaway. And it was on Facebook. It was a contest, and yeah, it did really well. I didn't realize it was had done that well. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. He said he couldn't believe it. He said because
that's
you guys
cool.
put it on your social media, it just exploded.
Yeah,
you know?
That's
what
great. That's great. I mean, they're great
Super
drums,
cool.
man.
Were you playing
amazing.
Those drums in that Wasteland video?
Yes. Yeah. That's
they
the
sounded
kids.
Good, and it looked like you were slamming them pretty good. As we've talked
yeah,
about
I put
before,
them...
I like that groove. It was like an up down shuffle.
Yes.
Know?
Yeah.
And, it reminded me of the thing we did in Blue Murder. You know.
Right.
And,
right.
And you said, "Yeah, I love Blue Murder. I love Blue
I
Murder
did,
too.
Man.
I love Blue Murder too." It was. I'm sorry we never got to play more with Blue Murder because those songs were so much fun to play as a drummer.
Yeah,
you know?
Amazing. Yeah, like I said, I'm an 80s kid, and it's an honor to be here, man, and visit with you, Carmine. And,
well, thank you, man.
Appreciate it. Love Blue Murder.
Yeah.
I had to watch the Ed Sullivan "You Keep Me Hanging
On"
Vanilla Fudge to get fired up for this interview tonight, man.
You
lay it down. It's awesome.
I was an animal in that sucker, man. I mean, that
you
was
were
like animal. So, have you seen that,
pie.
Mariah? Have you seen
it? I have
that?
Not.
You should see it.
Oh, yeah. It's,
I haven't.
You know,
you should
I will,
see it.
I will.
It is ridiculous. Because everyone that used to go on the
it's
Ed
crazy.
Sullivan Show just used to play and stand there, right? And we went on, and I'm like,
yeah, like an octopus. If an octopus was playing drums, that's what it looked like.
Yeah, the octopus was playing drums, right. And I'm killing the drums. And I had a 26-inch bass drum, the first 26 bass drum in rock. And it was so big, and you know, when you hit it, it was really loud.
It's huge.
You know?
It's awesome.
And, you know, I'm going to say it since we're talking about Keep You Hanging On, and I've said this many times on our show, but it's a little known fact. Carmine, tell us about it. It's one take, no monitors. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. One take, motto, vocals and everything. One take. So 7.5 minutes to change my life, you know?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
And now,
that was the show back then. I mean,
it was the show.
The band, did it change overnight after that performance for you guys?
Yeah, we sold about 300,000 singles the next night, the next day.
Wow.
Right? Yeah. I mean, you played that show, it made your career, right? I mean,
well, we had
that
the career.
It was so huge.
We had the career going. We were the first band to sell an album in the top five. It was number four. Before us were the Doors, the Beatles, and the Stones, or somebody else. But we didn't have a smash single yet. But on the strength of the album being top 10, we were the first band to ever achieve a top 10 single without a smash, top 10 album without a smash single. So when we were on there, that was the main song anyway.
Wow. So that's
I mean, we knew that was the song. We knew that was the song because when we used to do it, we were doing all these.
Let's do it. Come on. You can't get enough of this.
I got it.
Look at him. And Mark's an animal, too, by the way. I mean, look at him. An animal with an ascot. What kills me is that that's your hair.
Yeah, that's my English look.
You guys are all animals, man. Look at this guy. Look at him. Set me free. I told you, babe. Head up my life. I told you, babe. You really don't want me. Look at that.
Tim Bogert.
God, look at you guys feeling it. You never see a keyboard vocalist using his hands like that.
No. Drama.
Right, right?
Drama.
Yes, drama. The drama.
Yeah.
Look at you guys.
The cameraman knew what was up. He zoomed in to you. He was just like, that's where the energy is,
at
man.
At the end, it's wild. When I went down the elevator for the show, I said to the guy, he's an elevator operator, how many people watch the show? He said, there's about 50 million.
Wow.
And the interesting thing, there's 50 million TVs in the United States. I mean, everybody.
Yeah, just in the States.
Everybody.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I hear this, it's on TV now.
That's awesome.
There's a cable channel running the Ed Sullivan shows. Somebody just told me, I just saw you on the Ed Sullivan show on TV. I said, what, advertisement? Said, no, they're running the whole different shows.
But, Carm, you know,
we were on twice. We were on twice, actually.
Were you always?
The next time I went on.
What? Were you always, I mean, you know, it just seems so damn theatrical. Like, just so expressive. Totally. You always like that? I mean, it was like, you know, I don't know, like singing for the deaf. You were like.
Ever since that band, before that, I used to sit there with the sticks, hold them like this, and do all this fast stuff and not blink an eye, you know, and just sit there. But when I played with them, the music was so loud and physical and emotional that I had to put my whole body into it.
But you almost had
choreography. And I had to pound louder than I ever pounded in my life, and I didn't know I was creating something. But there were no PAs in those days. You know?
So you didn't do that because of the show. I mean, because again, it seemed almost like choreography. You know what I mean? He was doing this. Yeah. You were doing. Did you do that for the show, for the TV, or was that how you guys were?
No, we always did that. If you saw us the other day, people came up to me and said, man, your singer is unbelievably soul singing, you know. You know, he does solo albums now and he plays the piano. And I said to him, you know, you shouldn't play the piano. You should play the organ, mm-hmm. the B3, and do your emotions, your drama. Because, you know, when you play the piano, you can't take your hands off the piano. You know?
Yeah, right.
You got to have the two hands on there with the organ. You can hold the chord and, you know, it holds and, you know, and you can go, oh, you know.
Do your rock moves.
Yeah, you do the rock moves, you know. But
so, you know.
But, you know, when we went on the next time, I had the big Maple Ludwig kit.
Oh, yeah.
26 by 14 double bass and a marching tenor drum as a small tom and an 18-inch tom and then a 22 bass drum turned on its side with metal rims that Ludwig made for me. And that was my big tom. I had a gong. It was the first one to have a gong. It was an unbelievable set. So when we took John Bonham on, and Zeppelin on their very first gig, he saw that kid and said, "You think you can get me one of those?" Nobody knew him.
Wow.
You know? So I called Ludwig. I said, "I think this guy's going to be big, like the understatement of five decades, you know?"
Yeah.
And he got the same kid as me, double bass drum.
It was like a piece of furniture.
Really?
Yeah.
Double bass.
Double bass. We used it on the next tour in 1969. And then Robert and Jimmy said he was too busy. I don't know. Okay. Ben, you might have that picture. Anyway, Robert and Jimmy says, "Too busy. Get rid of that one bass drum." So when he got rid of the one bass drum, the Led Zeppelin drum set was born.
Right.
It's incredible. Wow. We talked about some of the
funny. That's amazing.
It really, really
is.
TV
stuff that was going on. You know, I gotta ask you, Mariah. You know, obviously, on the whole voice thing. You obviously, you know, you get a lot of that. And you know, can you help? I mean, a lot of us, TV watchers, as opposed to you being huge, you know, singing in front of 50 million people. What is that whole thing like? I mean, take us down the road of an experience on The Voice, because what we see isn't what really happens the whole day.
Right. Well, first of all, it was one of the best experiences of my life. I learned a lot of new skills and, how to be a better singer, how to be a better performer. And, you know, also to just stay true to myself and follow my gut. But a lot of it's just, it's long, know, like it's so much longer than they make it seem. And you know, that's what you form, like, so many close friendships out there, because you're living with all the contestants, like you're living with each other basically for several months, you know, depending on how far you make it. And so,
how far did you go? I don't watch TV much.
I think like maybe halfway.
We actually
It's great that you.
But it was.
Oh, you have a clip. Let me see.
Can we see the clip, Mariah? Would you mind?
Oh.
I know people hate seeing themselves. But
you can put your hand up.
It's
your
not arm. That I hate it. It's just, well, listen, it's, you know.
That's not that clip. Mariah, you never looked so terrible.
Wow.
I grew my beard out.
What was
you
that?
Terrible, I was cooking Mariah. With Carmine.
I told you. I grew
all right, we got the clip, Ben. Oh, wait, what clip are you talking about?
Maybe. I like that. Did you guys plan that? That was pretty funny. There's Mariah's clip, and then this ugly guy comes up.
No, it's kind of funny. When you're doing that, I mean, first of all, to sing an Ann Wilson's, I mean, crazy on you. I mean, that was, talk about ballsy to take on an Ann Wilson's song. I mean, was that, how did you actually?
Did you play guitar? Did you play guitar? You play guitar?
I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
I love that song, and I just felt like it was the most, because they give you, like, this is also like another part of the process, but for your blind audition, which is the part where, like, you know, they spin the chairs around and whatever, you get a list of like 500 songs or something like that. It's crazy. And so it's like, you can't go in there and be like, "Hey, I want to do this." Like, you have to pick from the list. And you know, which was annoying to me, but I was like, "Hey, you know what? This is a great opportunity." But I saw that song. I saw Crazy on You, and I just
did. You know the song before?
It just felt like, Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. My dad raised me on like all sorts of classics and stuff. And,
okay.
And I saw it and I was like, you know, I just really felt like that was the song that was going to help me best show who I was yeah. as, you know, an artist and who I want to be. And also it's just a great song,
oh my gosh.
You know, and it's fun to play and it's just incredible.
But who's got a stronger voice? I mean, my gosh, you know, to say, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to yeah, emulate Ann Wilson in my own way,
yeah.
but still.
Ann Wilson, yeah, she's an awesome singer.
You know, she's something else. Yeah. I mean, she's incredible. Yeah.
Hey guys, we'll be right back after a few messages from our sponsors. Welcome back to our Hanging and Banging podcast. I'm Ron Onesti here with Vinny Appice and, of course, the legendary Carmine Appice. We just did, that's how I know these guys. I own theaters in Chicago, smaller venues, 1,000 seaters. And Anne just shot her, I think it's either a DVD or going to be an Access television show. And watching her, and we've all seen her perform, but really watching her, it's the craziest thing because she opens her mouth. That's it. And this freaking yeah. train yeah. comes just it's right. it's just it's the most effortless, powerful thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. It is. It really, really is.
I mean, it's incredible. You know, you talk about like craziness, right? So John, you've been on stage. We're gonna talk a little bit about Cedar, of course, but you've been on stage with Metallica. You've been on stage with Sabbath. As a rock and roller, like how much better can it possibly get to share a stage with? I mean, you're not doing it with like the local Led Zeppelin tribute. You are like, you know, you are up there. I mean, that had to be just an amazing.
That's awesome.
You know, a steel frying pan in the face of goodness.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm a fan. I'm a music fan. It's the reason I started, you know, playing drums, getting into music, playing in bands. So yeah, I've had the honor to share the stage with heroes, you know, even being here right now talking to Carmine. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, this is amazing. But yeah, we did some huge shows. The band, Seether, is originally from South Africa.
What?
Yeah.
And yeah, Sean and Dale, the founders of the group, originally from South Africa.
I was gonna say, you're from South Africa?
No, I'm from the States. But we went to South Africa. We did some huge stadium shows opening for Metallica.
Wow.
And they were amazing. And Metallica, you know, was great. They'd be on the side of the stage watching us. I've got a great story. James Hetfield was helping me with my monitors one night. I was having trouble trying to communicate with my monitor tech. And James is looking at me and helps me out. I mean, just totally down to earth. It was
yeah,
great.
Good guys, yeah.
We've
yeah.
heard that about
yeah,
them.
Great guys.
About them actually watching. They really get into watching their co-bills or their fans too, you know. So especially James will be up there just jamming, you know, backstage, his head bouncing. You see videos of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Great guys.
That's
and
awesome.
It's incredible because you know you think about obviously the music of Sabbath and Metallica and the like, and the way Seether is actually, I hate to use the word categorized, but you know you're talking about. Just, you know,
viewed.
Yeah, viewed. But, you know, you've talked about a combination of grunge and punk and this and that. And then, you know, I don't know that not so much from your performance, but from the, again, the categorization of your music that I would have put you in front of Metallica or Sabbath. So that had to be something. And as you guys know, like when I put on shows, I have to submit the support. You know, for approval of bands. So the band is very, very, as you know, very much involved with that process. And for them to,
yeah.
for you not only to play with them, but you were accepted by them. It's really a big
yeah.
deal, especially
yeah.
when you think about there's differences in the style of music, really.
Sure, sure. Yeah. But the thing with Seether, man, I mean, we're a heavy band, especially live, I think. You know, we're even heavier maybe than some of our recordings. And I think it's a great marriage of melody. Sean, the singer,
yeah.
He's a great melodic, you know, lyrics that connect with people. I think, you know, a lot of fans connect with him with his lyrics. And I think that's a marriage of lyrics and melody with, you know, good heavy music. And I think Seether, we can adapt, man. And we hold our own opening for Metallica and,
big
you
time.
Know, Sabbath and, you know, whatever. Yeah, for sure.
Was there a time when you're playing something. I mean, when you're on stage and you looked over, like even that night when you looked over to James or somebody, and you're thinking, "Holy crap! What? I'm here. I've made it." I mean,
yeah.
Does that ever hit you?
I don't know if you ever say you've right. made it, you know what I mean? Because there's always the next mountain right. to climb and the next thing you're going mm-hmm. for. You never really arrive, but it definitely is a surreal yeah. moment. Yeah. And it's when you look back, I think, really, and you go, wow, you know, I've met some amazing, my done. Heroes, you know, and played well, shows with my heroes.
And when you look on the wall behind you and see gold and platinum records, you know you made
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just... I feel very fortunate, very blessed to be able to be in this business yeah. and make a living and play music and play my drums. It's great.
So look at you.
You know, when I started, when I was your age, I was probably Mariah's age. I just wanted to make a living.
Yeah.
Playing. I didn't, you know, as I told the story before, I hung out with Jimi Hendrix before he was big, and we smoked a joint and talked about making it. And I said, no, I just want to make a living doing this. I don't care.
So Mariah, here's I don't know if you're noticing this, but here's the tip, and take it from me and apparently Carmine, if you want to be successful, smoke joints with your heroes. That's basically
yeah, right. That's come up a couple of times. That's
got it.
That's got wait.
If you think it's got Jimmy wasn't a hero yet. He was just a guy playing a club.
I love it.
Yeah, he wasn't a hero yet. He was a guy playing the clubs.
Right.
That's why guys right. like, you know, wow. Jimi Hendrix, you know, I never like pose for pictures with Jimmy. Like the other day when Joe Bonamassa was, you know, playing with us, all the other guys in the band were, you know, posing pictures. And I know the guy since he's 12 years old. You know, I didn't go posing pictures. Matter of fact, when I was doing my drum solo, all the other guys are backstage taking pictures with Joe.
See that?
Without me. I said, thank you, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, dude. Do you get a solo?
Do I? Yeah, sometimes, yeah. I'll do solos, yeah. Good. Not every show, but there have been a couple tours. Yeah, I'll take a solo.
Yeah, good.
John,
always,
have you
always
ever...
Gets,
have you, as part of Seether, yeah. though, I mean, I've seen this a little bit now with some of the bands that are out now. Have you covered... any tunes besides your own?
Yeah, we actually famously did one that did really well for us, and it was Careless Whisper, you know, the George Michael tune. So wow. This is a crazy
cover.
Story. Thank you. We did it for iTunes for Valentine's Day. It was sort of a joke, you know, kind of like, you guys, we're not really a lovey-dovey band. We don't have songs like that. And again, being 80s kids, we thought, how great would it be that sax solo in Careless yes. Whisper turned it into a, you know, lead guitar thing.
Genius.
And another great cool. memory is we had a day off in New York City. We went into Electric Lady Studios and tracked that song in one day. It put it out. They put it with iTunes sort of as a featured thing, and it took off. It was just, it did incredibly well. We had to add it to the album. And, so that was a total fluke, but yeah, there's a perfect example of a cover, you know, that kind of, you know, changed.
Well, I'll tell you what,
thanks for us.
You know, I talk Seether. First thing comes to my mind, George Michael. It's amazing how
it's just synonymous.
First thing. I mean,
always.
Really, I gotta say, I mean, that's freaking, it honestly is genius or visionary. To be able to hear a sax solo, but hear it as a guitar solo and say, you know what, we can make this
right.
work. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Yeah, it fell definitely. Into place, and it turned out, you know, I guess good. So, it, you know, it's done really yeah. well. But
I've always been a believer, if you're going to cover a song, make it a little different.
Right.
You know,
right.
Why
make
do
it your
it?
Own.
Why do it? Like, yeah. keep hanging on, you know. We did it our own way. And that was the whole thing, doing songs, doing covers, but taking them apart, putting them back together.
But once again, Carm, yeah. you know, you think about it. I mean, just like Seether, George Michael, back then,
yeah.
Fudge, the Supremes.
And Supremes.
I mean, who wow. would have, you know, I mean,
yeah.
who would have thought?
And Mariah, have you ever heard that song? The original goes, set me free, why don't you?
It doesn't sound like
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. I love that song.
It's like a happy, yeah. it's a happy approach to a sad song. So we tried to get the emotion in it, you know.
But what made you guys
which is amazing.
Same thing as you guys.
Carm?
Well, we listened to the lyrics, you know. Set me free, why don't you pay? Get out my life, why don't you? You don't really know, you know, just keep me hanging on. I mean, anyone that's in that position is not really happy. You know, right. It's an emotional situation. So we used to take all the music and marry it to the lyrics, like People Get Ready, we did as a gospel. People Get Ready as a train, thank the Lord, gospel. Eleanor Rigby, we did just like a eerie, churchy, weird, you know, thing, you know. So we tried to marriage A Season of the Witch by Donovan. I mean, that one was really evil and weary and heavy and, and crazy, you know. So we tried to marry the lyrics and the music and the emotion together.
Well, it's still, I mean, it's easy to say that now, but again, I just got to, it's still like, you know, a Supreme song. I mean, all those things you could do, you can get like the Donovan Erie, but a Supreme song. It's just genius how this stuff happens.
Yeah,
and maybe it's half genius and half some freaking pretty good luck that it just worked out.
It was good luck.
Yeah.
Good timing, good luck, all that stuff.
Yeah,
right.
Sure. And the way we played it, the maniacs that played it. Like Tim Bogert half the time looks like he was spastic.
Yeah. We all did in that video.
Yeah.
Y'all did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was contagious.
Yeah. Just killing it.
So, Mariah, you've in your ripe old age of 21, you've been in the business, I guess we can call it technically 10 years. Writing songs back when you're 10, 11 years old.
When was the first record deal?
We still don't really have a major one.
Oh, a deal, right.
Do you have a mind? Do you have an indie?
Yeah, we're on a smaller label. It's called Pavement.
Wow.
So
tell me how.
Well, after the show, you'll have a label.
Absolutely. You will.
They're awesome. They're awesome. They did a couple of shows with us, and they killed it.
Really?
It was great. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
So how did you get to do shows with Seether and
Plush?
You know, get on the label, and did you have an agent that liked you, or how did you get on these Seether shows? You have an agent now?
Yeah, we do. We have an agent and he's awesome, and they get us all sorts of cool shows, and we really, really are just having a blast.
Is it a major agency?
It's UTA.
Oh, beautiful.
UTA, okay, yeah.
We're calling them in the morning.
Ron's writing it down. You're going to be playing his place.
UTA.
There you go.
UTA.
So do you, but as I was starting to say, you started 11 years old, but you've written songs. You're a vocalist. You play guitar. Would you consider yourself, are you going down the road of writing a little bit more songs or more writing more songs?
Oh yeah, definitely. I just love to write. I just love to create. So it's something that I never stop doing. Definitely. I'm always, as long as there's something that I'm passionate about, which is always, I'm always going to be writing new music.
People say to me, why, you know, like the way the music business is today, I'm doing a new King Cobra record now, and two of the guitar players didn't want to do it because nobody buys records like they used to, and there's not a lot of money in it like it was.
Yeah.
Right.
And they said, you know, why bother? I said, just keep creating music, man.
It's what you do.
What do we do?
Exactly.
What do we
do? It's what we do.
We create music, you know. If they buy it, they buy. If they don't buy it, you're creating, adding to your legacy, you know.
That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I love it. I mean, especially now in my own studio, we were discussing before, you know, I used to, as John knows, you go in, you set up the drums, you get the sounds, you know, and then you record.
Yeah.
By the time you get recording, it's 4 hours gone by, and you're almost ready to leave, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the studio in the house, turn on the computer, the drums are here, they're mic'd up, easy to go. You can sit down and work, do what you got to do, and be fresh on it, you know. And I love it, even though I had to learn to engineer it, but I really love doing it, you know.
Oh yeah,
that's an art I need to continue. Is the engineering side of it, you know? That
I tell you, do tracks like that. My brother Vinny built this system for me.
Nice.
Vinny's a computer geek, you know. In between Dio and Sabbath, he had 2 years of out of the business. He used to work for Verizon. So you call up for tech support and you get Vinny.
Oh, man. That I didn't know.
Really?
Yeah.
I am going to
play in that time man. Period, he went to a computer school and learned how to build them. And so he built me a hot rod PC with like three different hard drives. I have like three and a half terabytes of power. You know, wow. He built the Focusrite and the screen, set it up in his house, laid it up, set up the templates for me, and then mailed it to me. And then on the phone and the FaceTime showed me how to work it. I knew how to work GarageBand on my iPad, so he said it's very similar. And I started doing stuff. Now I've done so much work in here. I love it. You don't have That's one? Awesome. You don't have one in your house yet?
No, I don't.
Oh,
no, I don't.
What about you, Mariah?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You got a laptop? You do.
You got to do it.
Yeah.
You got to do
yeah.
it.
I do. I have like a little setup, but it's not really like it's not a studio. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's just like laptop and like Pro Tools. It's what I need to make scratch tracks. That's basically
right.
All I have.
I mean,
yeah,
I love it. And now I've developed the drum sound that I really love, you know?
And yeah, that's what's amazing is I have a good friend here close to where I live. He's a great engineer and he's got a home studio, and I go there and track drums there. And it's amazing. He can get drum sounds every bit as good as the old school $1,000 a day studios, you know, that you did stuff. It's just amazing.
Yeah. When I play with Rod Stewart, I work with Andy Johns, you know.
Oh, wow.
All those Hot Legs and You Think I'm Sexy and all those songs were done with Andy Johns. And I learned how to mic his miking technique, you know, and that's what I did here. You got the room mics there, and you got a certain way you put the overheads and all that stuff.
Right.
And he was amazing. And then you get the old bass drums. I got that old classic sound, you know.
Yeah.
My drums don't sound like pillows as bass drums.
Right.
You know?
Right.
An old thing I learned from Dino Danelli. It's
incredible.
It's awesome. Yeah,
it's incredible. It. Are you running Pro Tools?
No, I'm doing Cubase.
Okay.
Cubase, and only because it's very similar to the GarageBand that I knew how to write. You know, I play bass, guitar, keyboard a bit as well, and I sing.
Oh wow!
You know, so I write full songs on my iPad. You know, I have an instrumental album out now with this guitar player plays bass, keyboard, and guitar, and it's called Energy Overload. It's awesome, man. It's like progressive heavy rock combination with jazz, little jazzy stuff in it, instrumentalist. And I did it all here. And we did the credits. It said engineered by Fernando Perdomo and Carmine Appice. I laughed. I said, look at that. I'm an engineer now.
Congratulations.
That's awesome.
Your career but 75, your career continues to grow.
Yeah. Not as big as it was when I was 55, but I mean, I'm not playing giant arena six nights with Rod Stewart at the Forum, you know. But
it's coming back.
But we're having a good time. We do 1,000 seaters and sell them out. And,
absolutely.
And you know, honestly, it's great. You know, because now you got PAs that are great, lighting that's great.
Oh yeah, my gosh.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
So now, Carmine, obviously you're one side of the spectrum. Let's say, what a career, Mariah. You're just starting those wheels. You know, so much ahead of you.
And we're up and down of each other here.
I know, isn't it crazy? This is like
the beginning and the end.
I wouldn't call it the end. I would not call it the end.
No, not the end.
It's another level. It's another level to aspire to. But Mariah, tell me a little bit about Plush. How did you guys come together? And I talked earlier about John and categorizing, let's say, his music, his band. How about you? How would you
first, why the name Plush?
It's after her hair.
It was just kind of it was kind of just one of those things where we had gotten together and we were like, okay, great, now we need a band name. And we were just like, all right, what do we do now? And so we started throwing out, you know, various names. And I think somebody from management, I think, threw out Plush. And at first I was like, nah, I hate that. Like, this is a hard rock band. What? But then I started thinking about it and I was like, I think it's kind of funny because, you know, Plush is like soft and sweet and whatever. And then it's like, you know, our music is not that at all. So I thought it was something that was funny because, you know, it's not something that's so obvious.
It's an ironic name.
And plus it just rolled off the yeah, it's ironic. And it also just rolled off the tongue easy, you know, like Plush. It's, you know, it's just a, it's just an easy
it's
word.
It's like fudge. Fudge.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I wish there was like a more spiritual meaning to it, but
yeah, we had a spiritual.
Man, that's just how it was.
some girl named us Vanilla Fudge. She said, "You're like White Soul."
Nice.
Okay. Okay.
That's perfect.
Kind of music?
We used to be called the Pigeons. Okay.
Anything
okay.
better?
Yeah, Vanilla Fudge was. Yeah.
We did a show with the birds.
I like the Pigeons.
We did a show with the birds, the seeds, and the pigeons.
I'd rather be called the Mexicans, to be honest with you.
So I think Vanilla Fudge worked.
Yes.
So describe
yeah.
Your
absolutely.
Band, Mariah, if you had to describe it.
If I had to describe us, I think that we're just, you know, raw, straight up, you know, no BS rock and roll, you know, that's just kind of get up on stage and plug in and play, you know, in like jeans and a t-shirt.
No, right.
Like, that's, I would describe it us that way.
Did you start it?
That's who we are. You know, we're just.
Did you start it?
Yes. Yes.
So you had your concept. I'm gonna have a girl band, a female band, and I'm gonna. Or did you start with another idea in mind?
Well, it was first our drummer Brooke Colucci and I met and just started jamming and stuff. Cause I noticed, you know, around quarantine, I started her on YouTube, like her drum covers would be recommended to me all the time. And so I started watching them and I'm like, wow. And then I found out that she was 16 and
crazy.
I was like, holy crap, that is insane. And then we ended up getting together and jamming and the chemistry just, I mean, you guys know how it is. It just
is clicked, she from the same town, just, the same town?
No, same like, relative, like maybe like, you know, hour and a half.
Oh, that's good.
You know,
yeah.
From me. So not too bad. And that's why it was so easy for us to get together and play. And then the two of us just decided like, okay, let's be a band, you know? And then, she had introduced, Ashley Supa, who's our bass player, and they had known each other a few years prior from, they did the School of Rock thing together. Man. And then the three of us started playing together. And again, the chemistry was just instant and we really felt like we had something special. And then we got management and once they hopped on board, there was a flyer or an ad, I think, that we put out saying we were looking for a guitar player. And Lizzie Hale actually got a hold of it and I think retweeted it or shared it on some social media platform. And then that's how our guitar player, Bella, Prom saw
wow,
and then
cool.
She reached out to us. Yeah, and so, and then
so Lizzie Hale's been
yeah,
involved.
Sorry, I just found
guys.
Out, guys. I have 5 minutes before I have to sound check.
That's two.
So I'm really sorry.
Oh, you're playing tonight?
Yeah,
where are
yeah.
you playing? I was wondering. I thought I saw bricks on the wall there.
Yeah, it's the Belco Theater in Denver.
Oh, nice.
With,
nice.
Hailstorm and Evanescence. Yeah.
Oh, great.
So tonight we're on tour right now.
Make
yeah.
sure you tell.
Yeah, tonight.
Tell Lizzie we said hi.
Please.
Yeah.
I sure
tell
will.
Her,
I sure will.
We love we
took Hailstorm out on like one of their first tours. I mean, it was the whole family. Yeah, in the
yeah,
RV, and their mom was the road manager, and real early on.
Cool.
Yeah,
oh my gosh.
They were awesome,
that
and
so cool.
it's been great to just watch their career grow and
you
have
know,
all the
awesome
success they've had.
Right, that's just awesome. It's, sorry to cut you off. I was just saying like that's awesome because you know they're that Hailstorm and Evanescence. They're pretty much they're just doing the same thing yep. for us right now. So it's
nice.
It's just great. Really really amazing. You
well,
know,
you know, listening to you,
you know, big, awesome bands want to give us a chance, you know, at our first big arena tour. So we're just so incredibly grateful.
Well, listening to you and the way you describe your band and everything, I mean, you talk about just hard edge rock, jeans and a t-shirt, you know, another good friend of ours, Alita Ford. And, you know, I think of the Runaways with you and you know, your band, you're out there. It's, you know, Runaways version two. You know, wish you the best. really, I know you got to run.
Yeah.
Again, Runaway. Okay.
That was punny and you didn't even mean it.
I know. The stuff I try to be funny with is never funny, believe me. Yeah. But yeah.
You're lucky my brother, you're lucky Vinny's not here.
Vinny's always busting my onions. He just always is. No, yeah. It's okay. Yeah. I'm enjoying this.
Busting my onions.
That's a Chicago term, sorry. It's a Chicago Italian term.
No, that's funny.
Yeah. So you're actually at a show with Evanescence and Lizzie tonight?
Yeah,
we.
Yeah, look. I mean, look at that room. I'm looking at that room. I'm
the cinder block dressing room, right?
Cinder blocks there. Yeah. It's like a black thing over this refrigerator.
Yeah,
and the door looks like a door.
It's like a gymnasium door.
Last night's gig. Yeah.
There you go.
That's funny. Well, life.
Well, good luck tonight. Kick butt.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, have a great show.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks so much for having me.
Great having you.
We'll do it again when you get bigger.
For sure.
Okay. We got you.
Ciao.
I'm going to call UTA first thing in the morning.
Okay.
Awesome.
All right. Take care now. Right.
Bye-bye.
So, John.
Okay, Ron, yeah, Ben, now you can show that Cooking with Carmine to
That's
Ron.
What that was. He said it on a clip. I didn't know where. Let's see.
Look at that. The chef.
Look at this guy.
That's amazing.
You look like a terrorist. What do you mean a chef?
Hey, what's up? Welcome to Cooking with Carmine.
Cooking with Carmine. Yeah.
Today I'm going to cook
paradiddle pasta.
Paradiddle pasta meal. I invented it myself and I cook it for you right now.
We can do this in your theater, Ron.
Okay, the first step is we're going to take some olive
oil. I love it.
Virgin olive oil. We're going to put some in the water. Just about a little bit, you know, just so enough to grease up the water and grease up the pasta.
The sunglasses kill me, I'm just telling you.
We're going to turn it on hard. We are ready to rock.
Some maracas.
Cup your hands, come on. Time for the pasta. I use homemade
Ralph's.
That popular Ralph's pasta.
Okay, we're going to do about a half of this box.
Was that whole wheat?
To feed the rest.
Yeah, no wait.
I leave this in for about 13 minutes, 12 to 13 minutes. You can use your time. I have time. If I do this 1,500 times.
I love the apron. Look at the apron.
Right.
Playing around the house.
Oh, God.
Okay, so you have to stir it, you know, a couple of times to keep the pasta separated. So I use a drumstick, Signature Series, Bickford Carmine drumstick.
Every kitchen needs one.
So, okay, that's it. See you in a minute.
Perfect for a cooking show. Yeah, that makes sense. That looks delicious.
There ain't nothing I can do about it. Looks like it's ready. So now we got to strain it. This is the strainer we've been using all our lives. My parents had this. My brother Vinny ate out of this. Myself.
Wow.
We ever ate was out of this.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's true.
Wow.
Pop it in the strainer. Look at that steam.
Oh, look at that, huh?
Oh.
A little broccoli in there. I didn't show you how to cook the broccoli.
In there. Very healthy, this is, by the way. And then what I like to do is put it back in the pot. Like the sauce, a little couple of dabs of olive oil around there, a little dab will do you.
Where's the freaking garlic?
I didn't put garlic.
Okay, so let's serve it. Okay, let's see how it is.
Feed your face.
See how it is.
It's on a drum head.
Oh,
it is.
I love this. This is great. So, well, that's it. That's the single paradiddle pasta by Carmine Appice. Leslie Golden Media Chick. And I guess we'll see you next time. We can do another dish.
It's a two episodes.
Sounds like me. Sounds like me.
Scrambled eggs.
Royal flush. That's afterwards, apparently. You took the royal flush.
That's so funny.
Right, ready? So I'm going to record this tomorrow.
That's awesome.
Let's see. Cook with Carm, why don't you bake? That's hysterical, Carm. Really. I mean,
that's funny.
You only know how to cook one other thing, so it's like a two-episode series. Low cost. I love it.
Yeah. It's scrambled eggs with cheese.
There you go.
That's great, awesome.
It's a drummer thing. That's like one of the two things I cook as well.
Yeah, thank
scrambled
you.
Eggs, man. Thank I do. You. That's it. That's
here,
awesome.
And here in Florida, I graduated to almond flour pancakes.
Nice.
Oh, nice picture there.
Look at that.
John, nice picture.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, my drum tech that's took that one. One.
Yeah, what's great. Up? What's up yeah. With Cedar next, John? What do you guys got coming up?
So we just released sort of a greatest hits called Vicennial for 20 years, 20 songs, 20 years, and that just came out. We did a live stream last week from a show we recorded on tour in Sacramento, and yeah, that was last week. And
look at the double. Three.
So yeah,
that's three.
That's it.
Yeah, man.
There it is.
Oh, and you got that's the one. It. You got the one Tom in the middle, like I had. I had that in 1968.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love what size yeah, is that? What size is that?
One up. Looks like that's a 13.
A 13.
And and the kicks are 24s.
Wow. Right.
16 and 18 inch floor.
Right. I had my little one was up there was 12 by 15.
Nice. I like 12s.
And the when they made it for me, Ludwig, they thought it was a floor tom. They put leg holders on it.
Oh wow. And
I said, no, it goes on a snare stand. Yeah.
I love his gold ones though. That is just a gorgeous piece of freaking it's a piece of jewelry, really, the way he does it. Yeah. I mean, it really is. It's beautiful.
It really takes
it up a notch, you know.
That's a nice set.
Look at this guy.
Yeah, thank you. And they sound great.
They do.
They do, and they tune up so easily.
Bill's drums sound great. They really, really kick ass, and
they're quality, man.
Yeah, I've been playing D drum, and I play a thin shell D drum maple kit, and they sound like the old Ludwigs as well.
Yeah,
that's what I like.
That's gorgeous.
And Bill was telling me yesterday. He said, "Yeah, I got John. He's one of my endorsers." I said, "Oh, great."
No, John's a great guy.
Yeah, so we got to talk about it.
Such a great guy. And the best part working with him. We did a clinic together, and he was actually driving me around. We were like to and from the music store. We did the clinic, but best part is at the end of the night,
the stories.
Oh, that's what I want to hear. And he's worked with all
from
my
Ringo
heroes,
on.
And I mean, Ringo on, you know, Alex Van Halen and Ginger Baker and Carmine,
we did those a stable of stars photographs.
Yes, he told me the whole
and
story.
There was like. Everybody on it, everybody that played Ludwig at the time that was big. Yeah, it was amazing because, and I tell you, there was a lot of drugs going around in that one.
Third reference, and I'm going to leave it.
Yes,
on the third reference. Obviously, Carmine's still got a little problem.
I'm not me. No, I didn't do that stuff, but there was a lot of it going around.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a story said the Ludwig logo at that after party was made out of a certain
white powder
substance, if you will. Yes.
It was a white powder.
Flour.
The Ludwig logo, white powder. That was so decadent, man. That was ridiculous.
That's right there.
That should have been in like a rock and roll movie right there.
You know? Oh, man.
Yeah.
I have to say, I wish I'd been there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at this.
Awesome. Awesome.
Oh, cool. So this is a display at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
How cool is
so
that?
We contribute. Yeah, it's amazing. So we contributed some items.
Are you guys you're not in it yet, are you?
We're not in the Hall of Fame, but there's a display for a setup called Now and Then.
You walk in on the right.
A section for current artists. And
don't feel bad. Yeah, we're not in it yet either. So
maybe one of these days.
Yeah, I don't really care. I think they should call it the Music Hall of Fame because they're bringing in people who rock.
Right, from all genres.
And
not just.
And I thought it was about influence. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It is. Anybody
and, you know, they're bringing in people that are not influenced anybody.
Anybody
you know?
Who's influenced Jan yeah. Lehner is in. So I think it's all about influence. All right?
Yeah.
Anyway. Hey, Johnny, absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us, man. It's a big thrill
yeah,
for us.
Awesome,
yeah. Thank you for having me. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you on the road. I'm sure we'll catch up with you on one of the shows. Please come back, man. We want to, you know, as you get further into the season, further on the road, we'd love to hear how it's going, man. So thanks again.
Wish yeah, you and I'll get your number from Bill. We'll connect, you know?
Yeah, let's do it. Absolutely.
Maybe you'll,
thank
maybe
you so much, man.
Together.
Hey, yeah, we can right. cook. You can cook, what do you cook scrambled eggs. We can do a double
scrambled
bass.
Eggs.
Maybe you
we can cook them on a double bass drum.
Maybe
there
there's
you go.
Another level. Maybe you can go, guys, like lose your minds and do like a Kraft's macaroni and cheese. Like really go nuts.
Wow. Oh, we don't want to get too crazy.
All right, John. Wishing you the best, man.
And you know, wait. Before we go, Ron makes the best meatballs.
I'm a chef. I'm a cook.
You ever play?
I got restaurants.
He's a cook.
And John. If Seether, you know, this is what I'm hoping. I'm hoping like Prince would play like a 700 seat thing once in a while. If Seether's ever wants to play a 900 beautiful rock and roll palace. And when that happens,
yeah.
I don't know if that could ever happen, but I'm just telling you, the most amazing meatballs are in your future, my brother.
Oh man, I would love it. I would love it. That's cool. Well we're with UTA as well. So you know,
oh,
there you go.
Okay.
Just so you know. You never know. You never know.
I'm going to call UTA tomorrow.
I know. Why don't you sign me, right? All right, John. Good luck on the road. Stay safe. God bless you, brother.
Thank you. You guys take care.
Next week is Thanksgiving. Obviously, we're going to be showing a rerun of Artists on Lockdown Hanging and Banging as we are every week. Want to say really a big hello to our buddy, Steve Love, who's away right now and is a good friend and also produced this show and put this all together. So, Steve, God bless you and Gwen and everybody who's put this together. Ben, of course, a lot of people put this whole thing together every week. As you see, every Thursday night we are hanging and banging 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern. Next week, a rerun. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you, John from Seether. Love you, man. Really a big deal that you're with us. Mariah, of course, from Plush. I can't wait to see what happens with that girl. So until next week or a week after, we'll see it right here. Artists on Lockdown, hanging and banging.
At Discount Tire, we know your time is valuable. Get 30% shorter average wait time when you buy and book online. Did you know Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Check out our current deals at DiscountTire.com or stop in and talk to an associate today. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's fantasypoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. Fantasypoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.